Honey, I'm going out. I'll be back in a couple hours.
You play Farmville and call yourself a gamer.
You said awesome, and I said I hate it.
Okay, so here we go. This is where the extended knowledge comes in.
Don't mind me. I'm just staring at a wall somewhere.
Can anyone afford Benedict Cumberbatch?
That's surprising.
I don't think a human could make those sounds.
Yeah, well, you can do it, though, can't you?
Yeah, I get it.
Hi, I'm Dean.
Paul. And I'm Jason. Welcome to Nerds Before Birds, the podcast where you'll find reviews, rankings, and general discussion on all things pop culture. This week on the show, we're going to have a look at Godzilla, King of Monsters, the film directed by Michael Dougherty and starring Kyle Chandler, Vera Farmiga, Millie Bobby Brown, and Ken Watanabe.
Watanabe.
But
absolute
does
nubby,
it
that guy.
Soar like an eagle, or does it simply flip the bird? We're going to answer that question. What do you guys think of this movie? Does it soar or does it flip? Where does it land for you, Dean?
It is kind of okay, this movie. Okay. I will say that. It was better than I expected. Still not amazing. Probably not even great, but definitely good.
Yeah, okay.
So
you'd be a great politician.
It was one of the E for Emu, was it?
Emu.
F for Emu. Actually, no. I've already changed my mind. It's a mildly soaring eagle.
Now, so there we go. Again. Let's tick off that box for this episode because you needed this
done.
Show again.
Already done.
Dean does this thing where he happens to, rate a movie slightly higher than what he starts out
or
rating
lower.
The movie. So, I feel like don't think he's gone that many times down.
Here's what I reckon it is. I think he's such a malleable human that he will rate it something, okay? And then, if you and I are on board with it, we can bring that score up. If we hate it, we can bring his score down.
Bring it
only
down.
If we team up.
Right.
If we Voltron together, we can change him.
We can,
it's so
we can
easy.
Change his mind.
Yeah, I think you're right there.
He's an absolute sheep.
No, I think I represent a pretty large amount of people that do this, where they go see a movie.
You know the group that just wants to fit in?
I'll find my place. I'm the sixth Power Ranger. I'll connect somewhere.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I know. I represent a large amount of people that go see a movie, thoroughly entertained or somewhat entertained, and then upon thinking about it or talking with other people, they get to the point where they're like, actually, you do have a point. It sucks. I'm that kind of person.
Or it's like, it was awesome.
It was actually much better than I thought. Yeah, exactly. Which also happens a lot.
We're a revenue machine.
Yeah, well.
Or not.
Let's see
if you can do this with
this podcast.
Then,
this could be interesting.
Let's do it.
But anyway, so you're right in the middle of the road with this one, with Ant and Emu.
I think it's just soaring.
I hate that so much.
Yeah, you really?
I really
F for Emu.
I was like,
you came up with it.
I know, and I'm not happy with it. It's like a whatever wombat.
Whatever wombat.
A whatever wombat.
No, but it's not. Is a wombat a bird, Jason?
No.
You're an idiot.
You do have a point. Anyways, okay, Paul, what did you think of this movie? Let's move along and get back to Godzilla.
What do you say about a movie like this? If you go back into previous podcasts, you'll see that I have a very big love of sci-fi and a really big love of big things fighting bigger things. So I'm sure it comes as no doubt that I had an absolute bloody awesome time. I loved it. I really loved it.
Yeah,
you did.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
I was so amped coming out of that movie.
Yeah.
Way more amped than I thought I was going to be. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
It's definitely better than I expected.
How about you, Jason? Oh, sorry.
Oh, thank you. I was just like waiting like just long enough that you could ask me
it's
the question.
We always, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the only reason why you ask us, because you want us to ask you.
That's it. That's him, yeah. Especially yeah. Like if you ever hang out with him during the week, he'll ask you like, "Oh, yeah. How's your week
Stop
going?"
Stop talking, Paul. It's my turn.
Exactly. You're like, "Yeah, the week's going okay." Blah blah. And then there's that lull where you know he's waiting, and then you're like,
and then, "We'll see you later." Week?
And then he just goes off on a tear. He's like, "Well, I'm back on heroin again, but that's fine because I can stop whenever I want." Yeah. The bruises are healing, which is great. Fight Club is awesome.
Those kind of answers that are the reason why we don't ask you.
I'm almost done on the big book of birds. I'm up to W, but apparently Wombat's not there, which is weird, but whatever.
I know, right? Weird, completely.
So crazy.
Anyways, getting back to what I thought of this movie.
Oh, sorry,
so,
Jason. Yep.
Just two things before I actually, like, I'm going to take Dean's thing and have a disclaimer.
So you're not going to answer the question yet?
No, mm-hmm. No. Okay, I'm going to lead in with some suspense.
Jason before birds.
Yeah. There was two things in this movie that I really liked, and that was the music is incredible.
Yes.
Like,
absolutely. So good.
And the action with Godzilla and, like, the actual fights are fantastic.
Pretty impressive.
Hell yeah.
And I absolutely loved this movie. I thought it was awesome.
Really?
I was on board. I was completely on board with this movie after like the first scenes and everything like that. I was just like, yeah, this is fantastic. Wow. I like, you know, it's not without its faults.
That is
there's plenty of things wrong with this movie.
There's still
it's
humans
a dumb
in it.
Movie. But yeah, it is really stupid. There is a lot of things that they do that are really stupid.
Oxygen like, bomb.
Oh, yeah, well, that's one of the things, but
any
we'll get into
character
that.
Character decision ever made in this movie.
Pretty much is dumb. But for some reason, I was like, I love this movie. Like, I really had a great time with it. And
yeah, wow.
And I think a lot of that does come down to the music, because the music is so good. Like, it just makes this way better. And I love the fact that they use the original Godzilla score in it, and like from 1954, and they redid it for like a modern
How
modern,
good's the chanting?
Audience. I just, yeah. God, the chanting is so good.
It's so good. Kill everything.
Yeah.
I don't even care anymore.
The sound editing and mixing in this movie was also very impressive.
Yeah.
Oh, it was. Felt big.
There was one moment where I legit sent shivers down my spine in the final battle when you hear Godzilla's roar, like that really classic, clear roar. And it like it was just mixed in a way that it just like it sent shivers down my spine. I was like, oh my gosh. I'm so excited for this bit.
Oh, I was on board.
Genuinely like, good bits in this movie.
We've already got him.
Yeah, we've got him. He's already moving.
I think you're right. This is a five bird movie.
There it is.
It was okay. It's anyway.
Unless we do Aaron's rating system where it's like, I loved it. It was a fantastic movie. Two birds.
Yeah. She gave it 1.5.
1.5.
I was like really surprised. Because I was like, I hated that movie and I gave it one bird. And she gave it 1.5.
She was so defensive of it and I felt so bad.
Yeah, she's like, oh, it's not that bad. 1.5.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Bloody hell.
That was shocking.
That was hilarious.
Insane.
But yeah, so we're going to get into the plot of this movie a little bit. It's where I recommend going and watching it.
Yes.
I think it's a lot of fun.
This is definitely a movie to see in the cinema. The sound design and the way they've made the actual Titans feel massive, I don't think you can recreate that outside of the cinema. So get into it. Have a great time. Also,
probably a thing to say Pacific Rim, the first one.
Yeah, or Gravity.
Yeah, the first one.
Yeah, yeah. But like Pacific Rim, another critically panned movie that is just fun to watch. But it is just
so
like
good.
Particularly on the big screen because it is big things fighting big things.
Big things fighting big things.
And that's pretty much what this is. Like it's literally just... That's the best thing about it is that it is massive creatures going up against each other.
And
for some reason, like I actually really didn't like the 2014 Godzilla. And I think I've talked about this before because I really didn't like the fact that they, spoilers for that movie, but they killed off Cranston in like the first like half an hour of the movie.
Mm.
And I felt like the whole movie became really dull and you don't see a lot of Godzilla for that movie.
Godzilla.
They kind of keep him in the shadows and he has like really like great moments where he's introduced, but there's not really the action that you get with this movie, where that's why I think this movie is way better in my mind.
Did a lot of like just start fixing problems with the first one in this. Like, so with that one, you're right. The only really developed character was Bryan Cranston. You really didn't care for any other characters because they weren't developed or anything. And you hardly saw Godzilla. This time I was like, all right, we're going to see a lot more of Godzilla. And this time we're going to completely change it. We're not going to care about any of the characters. And so
about the characters. I actually like the characters in this.
Okay.
I think I like them a lot. Again, a lot more than the 14 and a lot more than the 1998 Godzilla.
Oh, hang on a second.
Oh, yes.
Come on. The cameraman was really good.
Oh, no.
Hey, pal, give her a break.
Anyways, you can revisit our podcast on that one.
Sure. If you have a lot of issues with the characters in this movie. We'll definitely get to that.
You know something funny?
What?
Actually forgot, never realized that this was a sequel.
Really?
So the last time I saw the 2014 Godzilla was in 2014. So the movie starts and I'm like, hang on. Do I need to know? Who are these people for a second? Forgot everything.
Have you seen Skull Island? Like the Kong Skull Island?
Nah, dude, I'm done with Kong.
No.
Peter Jackson ruined Kong for me.
Similar thing. It is it's garbage. Silly, but it is fun.
Is it?
It is fun. It is fun. Yeah, I think you'd really enjoy that one.
Is it in?
They're going to fight each other in the next one. So.
That's, we'll get to that. That's dumb, but we'll get to that.
Shut up.
It is stupid. Anyway,
No. You're stupid. Just said
King and of Monsters, and he's going to fight some dumb ape? Like a 5-second movie.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not. But we'll get into that when we get into the predictions. Yeah.
Anyway, great movie.
So for this movie, I love you,
but I reject your opinion.
I don't love you, and I also reject your opinion.
We all recommend watching it then, maybe?
Yes. Yes. 1,000 times yes. Yeah. Please do it.
Dean, do you recommend watching it?
Yeah, I do. I do. Yeah. I think it is definitely something you should watch at the movies. But don't expect, don't go in with massive expectations.
No.
And you will be entertained.
It's dumb and awesome.
That's, it's dumb and awesome. Yeah, that's probably the best way of representing it. So, yeah, we all recommend it in various capacities.
Do it.
We're going to jump into the actual plot of this movie. If you want to see this movie, this is probably a good time to jump out because we're going to jump right into it.
All right. And so we start with a flashback to Man of Steel where Godzilla is fighting Zod in Metropolis and just wrecking shop. And Bruce Willis has lost his son, so he's pretty pissed at Godzilla. Sorry, non-union Bruce Wayne. So, and then we flash forward 5 years and what happens? It's the same. Do you get it? Because it's the same thing. It happens. Jason laughed. I appreciate that. Paul's trying not to laugh.
You know why I'm laughing? Because I actually missed the first five minutes of the movie. So
I had to give
him
a summary.
What happened?
It is exactly what happened. No, it's basically the same thing.
Really?
No, not really.
It's the same thing that happened in Batman vs. Superman. Starts with a flashback to the first Godzilla where the family is in the rubble. Where he's like running around and then you look up and you see Superman fighting Zod. This time he looks up and he sees Godzilla walking past and everything's trashed and they've lost a kid. And then it flashes forward to 5 years later. It's the same thing.
I lost a kid.
You're right. I did actually miss something in this movie. That was the part that I actually missed.
I told you this the other day.
No, you didn't tell me this. No, you said it was like a flashback of the previous movie. And I was like, oh, the previous movie. None of that happened in the previous movie.
Jason, you are welcome. That is.
Happy to help. So That would have been nice to have seen. So, I actually got to the cinemas. I ran to the cinema. I was I'd got my son and daughter in bed and, ran out of the house trying to get to the movies on time. Mm-hmm. And I got there, it was, the 6:45 session or whatever, in at, 5 to 7. And I said to the lady, this will be fine, right? The movie hasn't started. And she's like, no, you'll be fine.
Absolutely.
And I got in, and it's one of my, it was completely a lie. So when I got into the cinema, is actually when Mother and Emma and Madison are actually having the conversation in the kitchen. And so I never seen any of that section of the movie.
You didn't see her texting her dad?
No.
Oh,
no.
Well, hey.
Okay, so you
missed... Oh, no, no. I think I seen... Yeah, yeah, that was like... I picked up on everything that was going on. But yeah, I didn't see the actual flashback part.
Yeah, right.
So I was very annoyed, but yeah.
You only missed out on one scene and the opening credits. And
that's about
maybe a little bit of that, yeah. But yeah, basically then next scene's 5 years later after the credits, which is similar thing to the past Godzilla movie where you're showing the snippets of various Godzilla news and, Monarch are hiding these monsters everywhere. Who is Monarch? Yeah. All this stuff, all these news reports, and maybe there's a couple of shots of Kong and all these other things. And then we're in a kitchen where a girl... Yep. Who is, what's her name, Madison?
Yep, Maddie Bobby Brown from Levin, from Stranger Things.
On the computer. And probably, honestly, probably in my opinion, the best performance in this movie came from her. I thought she was excellent in this.
Godzilla Millie Bobby was pretty Brown. Good.
Godzilla was great.
Did his own stunts and everything.
What he was doing. It was like, it just, Did you see the credits? Funny you say.
Yeah, I did. I did see that. I loved it. I loved it. Hilarious.
What was the credits?
In the credits, there's a section where it says Godzilla, Ghidorah, Rodan, and Mothra listed, but they're playing themselves.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Godzilla as himself.
That's excellent.
Ghidorah as himself, Mothra as herself.
Yeah, that's great.
That's cool. Yeah, it was just typecast. But so Millie Bobby Brown, Madison, is she's on the computer getting emails from her dad who she hasn't seen in a couple of years. It's established that this is the daughter of the family that we saw in the first scene. So she's lost her brother and hasn't seen the dad in a while because he's off doing animal work.
Yeah, he's like conservation stuff.
Taking photos of foxes. Not foxes.
Taking photos. Wolves, sending through photos to his daughter saying, miss you. And then she burns breakfast. And that's when the mum comes in. And that's where you probably...
So Jason and the mum came in.
Yeah.
He came in at the same time because she's like, I burnt my breakfast or whatever. And and that's where that was the first line of the movie for me.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah. So I didn't know anything about the dead son, but I did. I picked up on that later on.
What dead son?
What dead son?
Well, yeah, the mum comes in. Turns out she works for Monarch, and the daughter's worried because she's getting a little bit too hardcore into this device that she's working on. They then get a red alert saying, holy crap, there's something happening. You should come down immediately. And we're revealed that we are not in just like a classic like LA house. We're in Machu Picchu. And so they enter a Monarch facility underneath Machu Picchu, and you see a giant lava thingy,
big maggot,
bug house, big. Well, I mean, yeah, sure, big maggot. and it's like they're trying to contain it, and they're like, it's Mothra. We're told it's Mothra. Mothra hatches, and they're not ready for it.
Yes.
So they're trying to like calm her down and sedate her. She goes mental and starts killing some folks, and this is where Dr. Emma Russell steps in with a little briefcase that she was working on, which they call the Orca, which produces like sound waves. And they're trying to replicate like the alpha sound to make this thing submit. And she finally does it just in time before they die. And Mothra submits to them.
This is where the continuous great character decisions start.
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, amazing.
I feel like she probably could have done it from behind the glass.
I feel like she definitely could have.
I feel like, they should have had some speakers or something like that were outside the glass and she just stays behind that protective barrier.
Speakers don't even matter. She was running away with the case later on and Ghidorah was tracking it. You don't even need a speaker.
I feel that's true. You don't even bring your daughter to the viewing platform for this.
Yeah, but...
What else is she going to do?
It's a bonding moment.
It's either that or drugs, Dean.
Yeah,
keep him off the streets.
Exactly. Yeah.
You jerk.
Much safer.
Yeah.
By much. My side.
Look.
In the shadow of this giant beast that's going to kill us.
Look at the big advocate for drugs over here.
Wow.
Wow. Is that why they were in Machu Picchu?
You know what? It's a dying industry, yes. Guys. I got to support it.
It's because all the users are dying.
Yeah, unlike having titans be born, that is not a dying industry. There's plenty of them being born. So in this movie,
the whole 17 guys.
How's your daughter? How's your daughter?
She's good. She's in rehab.
Back to this movie.
Anyway, so Martha is chill. I love how they show her aggression with like the internal lights. Like she's red and angry and pulsating red and killing everything, and then she submits and she's like a nice calm blue.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. Like, I do like it. The way that, like, they set up the whole, I suppose it's the MacGuffin for this film almost.
Yeah. Kind of. Except we know where it is at every point in this movie. So
That's true, too. But everyone's trying to get it. Well, so,
yes.
Yeah, they got it.
No, but I mean, like, Monarch's trying to get it off them. So,
right,
it's the driving force for the plot. MacGuffin. That's what a MacGuffin is.
Sausage MacGuffin.
Sorry. Stuff.
Carry on.
So we have the teacher from Stranger Things. He's working for Monarch, and suddenly Charles Dance comes in and decides to kill everyone. And then he takes Dr. Emma Russell and Madison Russell hostage, or does
and
he?
And the Orca.
And the Orca.
Yeah. The or does he? Another great character. Look, if I'm not saying because there's a bit of a spoiler for what happens later on, but like if you have any inkling of an idea of what's about to happen in this room with the people that you've talked to and, you know, plans that you've made, why bring your daughter to that point?
Again, Dean, what else is she going to do? She's going to be left there without a mum and no supervision, hard drugs, probably some caffeine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And these guys are trained pretty well.
Yeah, to, with me.
You know,
she burned
they're not going to come in shooting her. Like, it's okay.
They're not going to kill kids. They're not, they're not the Northerners.
Like she says later on. Later on, she says, like, you know, just do how I told you, like, sort of thing.
So
she
could have
just
closed to get in. Yeah. How did they know that the daughter wasn't going to be standing there?
I think you're really, really, like, you're stretching it here.
Oh,
like,
really? Just, am I?
You're trying to tear it apart. Yep. You're trying
you
to tear apart this wonderful
You're absolutely
movie.
Right. It's so unfair. There are definitely no plot holes in this
That's
movie.
That's right.
Oh, none. Shut up
none.
Now.
There we go.
No,
there we go.
Yeah, definitely. Exactly. You're Thank right. You. You're right. I'm
Anyways,
stretching it.
So then we're reintroduced, Bastards. I take it, but it was an introduction for me. He wasn't in it before for me, but we're introduced to Mark Russell. Well, I
not
was.
All you, Jason. You have a very different experience to everyone else. Anyway,
and he's watching wolves in the middle of, where was he actually?
In the grass.
Yeah.
Who cares? Doesn't matter.
In the country.
And he goes
Panama.
They have a helicopter that comes down, it lands. Ruins the shot completely. It flies to this remote location. And then they fly him to his house, which is Tony Stark's house as well from Endgame.
That's correct.
Pretty cool housemates.
And they have a conversation. Then they get back in the helicopters and go away. And I'm like, why don't they have this conversation in the helicopter in the first place?
He's got to go and pick up his clothes and stuff.
Yeah, but they just, like, I feel like that's, like, it's unnecessary. And, I mean, these helicopters are, like, pretty solid when they're flying around as well. That was, like, actually something that I noticed. When they're inside the helicopter, it's almost completely silent.
They're military helicopters, okay? They're soundproof. And, you know, they're doing a courtesy stop. You know, they're nice. People, all right.
Yeah, Monarch, not the
no
army.
No flaws in this movie. Yeah.
Thank you, Dean. Thank you. You're already coming on board.
I just, I've got you. Got my back. I got yours, Jason. You're welcome.
Anyway, so they pick him up and they're like, "Oi, they stole your wife and your kid and your stupid computer thing. Let's boogie and go and find it. We're going to go to Antarctica for some reason. Why are they going to Antarctica? Are they tracking it?"
I don't remember.
Well, bugger it. They're going to Antarctica.
Yeah.
That's happening.
They have an inkling
that Antarctica might be a reason.
Hang on. You're missing the best bit.
Monster Zero?
No. What? Firstly, they take him to the Monarch facility, which is like an oil derrick, but it also like descends underground.
Right. Yeah.
And they're showing him this absolutely sick underwater Monarch base, but then all of a sudden the radar goes off and they're like, oh, he's never been this close before. And they reveal that they've been tracking Godzilla. Man, I love this movie. They've been tracking Godzilla the whole time.
Yeah.
And then you see
that
him.
That was a cool moment.
And then you see him. And he is just a honking big boy.
And again, that's how this they get good. To Antarctica because
they follow him.
They're following him. And then they're like, oh, he's going to Antarctica.
He's following the orca. So, they're like, show me his past migration patterns. It's like, oh, every possible migration route is leading us to Antarctica. So let's go there. Man, that was a cool scene.
Great idea. Did you guys think that there were too many characters in this movie?
Couldn't care less. Four that I cared about.
No.
All Titans.
But that's what I'm saying. There were a lot of named characters, but not many that were like actual characters, if that makes sense. Like it felt like a lot of them could have been kind of combined and then made into like, you know, better fleshed out.
A lot of scientists and pilots.
Mm, exactly. You know? Exactly.
Like there's like three pilots that you kind of like, they have their own scenes. You're like, who are you? Just land the damn thing and get out.
Yeah. And so it kind of like, for that, like those bits, it kind of dragged it on a bit and you're like trying to figure out what's going on. And then obviously saved by the massive big scale fights in between, which were amazing.
Literally. Yeah.
I think a lot of the like secondary characters are sort of like nods to the expanding universe that they're creating sort of thing. So like I know that there's a few characters that come across like an older version of some of the characters that are in Kong.
And, right, okay.
And really? Because like that's set in like the 60s or 70s. And then they have like the older versions of those characters. So I think that's why it is sort of so... so many like characters that interact and everything like that. Like,
also, I never read the comics that these are based off, so and they're probably all from like originate there. So yeah,
is it based on comics?
Is it based on comics?
No,
I think
is it another like DC,
another Dean Singer.
Moving on.
Absolutely crushing it.
They're my best jokes, the ones that you don't get.
So anyways, we're
love you guys.
Meanwhile, everyone's gone to Antarctica, we have Emma and Madison there. They've gone along with Charles Dance. I don't know. What is his character's name?
Alan Walker.
Alan Jonah.
Alan Jonah.
Alan Walker. Yeah.
Close.
Charles Dance. Nice.
So
Charles Dance.
They're like, he's leading the military guys, whatever they are.
The mercenaries.
And
mercs.
Whatever. We don't have to abbreviate.
We do. This is going on pretty long.
Merc and stocks.
Yeah. Okay. So he's leading them and they attack the Monarch base that has the encased in ice Monster Zero.
Yeah.
Which we all know from the old Ghidorah versus comics? Godzilla movies, right? Yep.
Do we?
Yeah. Ghidorah is from the original series of Godzilla monsters.
Really?
And so he's one of the kaiju. Is it kaiju? Is that one?
Yep.
What is?
Well, kaiju is what they called them in Pacific Rim. But kaiju just means monster, I think.
They're still calling them titans officially in this, but they are kaiju.
Kaiju.
So at this point, we have Kyle Chandler's character, Mark Russell.
Mark Russell, my uncle. Yeah, Uncle Mark.
Yeah, nice. He arrives with all the other Monarch people and they get there just in time to find that they've unleashed.
They've put a buttload of explosives in the ice. They're going to free him. He has a standoff. He gets in front of the anti-Monarch team who are trying to escape.
Yeah.
And he confronts his wife and his daughter and he's like, stop it, let's not do this. But she's like, no, let's. And then she detonates the wall which is absolutely epic. Yes. So basically, get out of there, guys.
And that's when he realizes that she's actually working with them and she's never been a hostage this whole time.
Classic Sagittarius.
Irritated the crap out of me. And I feel like that's probably the reason why I don't like these characters. And
why?
The bit that is... Well, okay, Vera Farmiga pretty much sums up in this whole scenario what's wrong with pretty much every character in this movie is that their character decisions and choices do not line up at all with their pre-established characters. Like, Vera Farmiga, how does she go from losing a child to complete extremist in 5 years? It doesn't really make sense, and they don't explain it well enough for it to make sense.
Dude, I think you're missing something here. So so there's giant monsters and,
yes,
and
they there's a giant monsters. Each other. Yes.
And
Oh, you're right. Yeah, this is an amazing movie. Oh my gosh.
Thank you. You got it. You're on board now.
There's this thing called a script.
Yeah, so when they attack each other,
I found another plot hole. Silly. You're right. I was just nitpicking.
Unlike the ice wall, there are no holes in this plot.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Not at all.
Oh my gosh.
I do think that, like, Mark Russell, the character, would be probably thinking that ex-wives are just really the worst because she, like, literally tries to kill him.
She tries to kill him.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she's like, well, she does say,
she gave him a head start. It's nice.
I'm like... And she, like, blows up this
That's how you can tell it was a civil divorce.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
She says, run, please.
And so what I realized at this point in the movie, that we're actually watching, like, you know, the worst custody battle in history, because that is pretty much what this movie is. They're both trying to get Madison.
My gosh.
And they're having, it's a metaphor for their court
case. Neither are happy with shared custody.
Yeah.
The negotiations are ongoing. Oh my gosh.
Negotiation.
No, but
yes,
5
completely.
Minutes from now, there is a point where she legit tries to kill him. Or there's, like, she stops her daughter from trying to save her dad with the orca.
She was saving herself, though, because she was making the helicopter a target. That's why she's like, what the hell, dude?
That's right.
But it's basically like, think about what that's telling the daughter. It's like, no, stop, you know, painting a target on our backs. It's okay to let dad die. That's fine. Yeah. We'll let that happen.
Are you taking this movie a little bit personally? Are you sort of
you good, man?
Just like feeling like,
look,
yeah, are you okay, man?
You want to talk about it?
It really gets...
Look,
it hits
I'm pretty sure your wife and daughter would... be turning that on.
It's okay.
They're just going to turn that orca on and they'll just get eaten by Monster Zero.
There is a soundbite that we're going to take and put in the... they're going to turn that orca on.
I come from a really shattered family. My mom tried to kill my dad with a giant lizard and so this just brought back so many memories. Anyway.
She went to prison and she was known as Blue Tongue Denise.
My mom's name's not Denise.
Anyway.
That's what you got out of that. Her name's not Denise. Oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Her name was definitely Blue Tongue, but not Denise.
Blue Tongue, yeah. Silly Mothra.
Anyway, so we find out now that Emma Russell, Dr. Emma Russell, is the bad guy girl. And she is going to. Yeah.
She's going to release a few titans. She's got a plan.
Yeah. Yeah, so she is basically trying to save the world through releasing all the Titans.
Yeah, some. Not all of them, some of them.
Not all of them, I thought it was like there's a whole...
Here's what you missed, okay? I don't understand how you guys didn't get this. It's literally a Godzilla movie. But the plan is anywhere the Titans go, their radiation encourages growth of plants.
Yeah.
It like depollutes the world.
I got that because she describes her plan through like full PowerPoint presentation that she's got with stock footage and news articles and a shot from the film Kong Skull Island as well.
Sure.
And she uses that to like tell them what her plan is. I seen that. I remember that.
Okay, so what do you get? She's going to release a couple of them because they're going to come back anyway. They're already coming back.
I'm sure it was like all of them.
That's why they get in trouble because she's like, I didn't realize what we were doing when they released Monster Zero.
I'm just confused as to why Jason gets to pick out holes and I don't. But hey,
there isn't a hole. That's what I'm explaining.
This is not a hole. This is
just, you're genuinely asking questions.
I'm just talking about how well prepared she was. She had her PowerPoint ready. Yeah, she's like, really here's some stock footage that I got. Some news articles. It's not a plot.
They flew from Machu Picchu to Alaska, Antarctica. Yeah. That's a long flight.
Yeah.
She's got time.
It is. It is. She's going to be like, yep, Skype in. I've got the PowerPoint ready. I'll just play a few videos while, what, just for dramatic effect. It'll be fantastic.
Is PDF okay?
She sends them a private link before she rings up so that she can make sure that they're playing it at the same time as when she has the Skype conversation with them.
I reckon she could have, like, she had enough time to figure out how to, like, you know, boost, like, jumper feed from point to point. So she was, like, you know, kept hidden.
But yeah, I feel that's
like
right.
The whole thing could have been pre-recorded and she'd be like, oh, if you're watching this, it means I'm on the run. And then just like done the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's how she did it. She edited it together when they were flying over to Boston.
Anyway, but, on a topic that's not about PowerPoints, losers. Basically, they release Ghidorah. The anti-monarch team gets on an Osprey and they're getting the hell out of there while the actual monarch team is basically left on the ice to suffer as Ghidorah awakens. All three heads, two wings, two tails going absolutely mental and it's going to start killing and eating everything. What Madison does is she realizes that the orca is doing something. It's producing some signal that is leading the leading Ghidorah to the monarch team. So she grabs the orca, flicks it to another setting, and then all of a sudden Ghidorah stops killing the monarch team and is like, I'm going to kill that Osprey because YOLO, right? And then and then she stops her and then turns it back to the other signal. So Ghidorah is going to kill her dad, but just before her dad can die, sadly. We hear a roar. We see a big old blue light from under the ice and then bursting through the ice. Freaking Godzilla. He rocks up screaming his head off, which is, it's just so good. It's good.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He sucks in this
fight. I don't know how these people, like, I like, this is something that it is a minor problem with this movie. And it's the fact that you never really feel like any of the humans are in danger, even with all this crazy chaos going on. It's like, for some reason, always like the main characters, you're like, yeah, they're not going to die. Even when one of the main characters dies at the end of the movie, I was like, now they could have got out of that
easily.
And like, it made no sense, but like there was no other way. There was no other way.
There was no time to argue about it.
There was no other way.
It had to happen. There's no time to talk.
That's actually not the character, but
really?
There's another character that dies that could have been okay.
Yeah,
but no, obviously no,
you're
not.
You're right. They could have gone out of that.
It felt like the scene Battle of Winterfell for Game of Thrones. Like, you know when Jon Snow's running through the courtyard and the dragon's there, but he's still fine.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's your reference to.
I've already made one already. I've made one already. It's happened.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Missed it.
Anyways, so we have Godzilla. He takes on Monster Zero for the first time and he rips off one of its heads and it flies away.
Godzilla here just gets like
destroyed
basically.
He gets shoved in a hole, he gets electrocuted, he just sort of and then Ghidorah is like, all right, we're done here, and flies away, and Godzilla just sort of sulks back in the water.
Why does Ghidorah leave?
Because it has a plan. It's gonna do its thing.
I'm sure it loses a head at this point.
This is basically round one state of origin. All right. This is Godzilla sucks.
Jason's right.
And Ghidorah's like,
Jason's right. Yeah. It does.
It loses its head here.
Because it grows its head back in the volcano village.
Back. Yeah.
Which is a different fight.
Which is the next fight.
Yeah, but not here. Not in Alaska.
It loses its head in Alaska, but it grows it back when it wakes up Rodan. Antarctica?
I think you guys are right. No, I think I'm wrong.
No, because
anyways, doesn't really matter. Loses head at some point.
It does matter.
Sorry,
it does matter.
Plot on.
When does it lose his head?
Well, I don't know.
The next fight, second fight, he loses.
Where's the second fight then?
In
Mexico.
Mexico. Yeah.
Is that where Rodan is?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. When does it grow its bloody head back? Oh, it grows its head back afterwards.
On the volcano.
After the flight. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Great.
Remember, cool, Godzilla, cool. Yeah, right,
it's like straight away.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get on to that point then.
All right. Yeah, so I don't know what stops the fight here. Like,
he's just done. Godzilla just gets destroyed and then Ghidorah's like, I'm done here. And leaves.
Yeah.
He just yeets out of there.
Was there something else? I'm sure there was something else.
Godzilla's like, okay, that's round one to you. I'm going to go have a sleep now.
Wasn't it the rest of the Monarch team rocks up in that big, stupid, massive ship? And they just start bombing the ever-living crap out of Ghidorah. And then it's like, we're cool. I'm out. Because then that explains the massive aircraft flying carrier thing they have, which is really cool.
Yeah, it is pretty
very
cool.
Sick.
It does remind me a lot of like the helicarrier for some reason, like of Avengers. So they follow Monster Zero to Mexico, and they're still trying to find out where the Orca is located at this point, because they know that the signal is being transmitted somehow, and suddenly all the Titans are waking up all over the world in all the different Monarch facilities, and we get this nice little montage of these like classic.
How unlucky would you have to be in the city where the Titan there is like the giant spider? I'd kill myself. I would put a bullet in my head.
Yeah, that's pretty gross.
Yes. It's like fighting something bigger than Shelob.
How cool is the mammoth?
The mammoth
would
is
be pretty sick.
The mammoth is
he's
really
so chill.
Like random in this.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like he's a servant.
Ape mammoth thing, whatever it is.
Did you see on the map? Did you see on the map that Australia had one? There was a Monarch facility under Uluru.
Who do you reckon we...
I was like, what is it? Tell us. Is it like a giant frill-neck lizard or is it like a massive wombat?
Probably a wombat.
Yeah.
Kangaroo.
Honking big.
A kangaroo.
Oh, could jump continents.
Like, you know, like that muscle kangaroo that
the swole
was going around.
The big red, the boomer.
Yeah, the swole. Yeah, it'd be one of those.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
It's like a 12-pack.
Which I think would, like, you know, definitely win in a fight against Godzilla.
And then how sick would it be? Saying. They could kill the giant kangaroo, but kangaroo. Then, like, after the credits, you see the little Joey crawl out. And you're like, number two.
Oh.
Kangazilla.
Wow.
Yeah. Whoa. Anyways, at this point in the movie, I realized that Mark Russell is actually, he has a superpower of his own. He can teleport around that helicarrier thing as much as he wants. I felt like, did you notice that? Like, the editing was really weird in the actual, like, some of the human elements. Like, he'd be down in the hangar at one point.
I didn't notice any issues with the characters at all.
Yeah. It's not a character issue. I just suspect that he has like a secret superpower that'll come out in like, you know, later episodes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's an Easter egg, really. But
interesting.
Not a plot hole.
I've been a teleporter this whole time.
He does. Amazing. He seems to like teleport around a lot. Like he's like suddenly here and then suddenly over there. And then, he just seems to be wherever the plot demands him.
Didn't notice that, but it's cool.
So we have Godzilla and we have Monster Zero. Ghidorah. They're in Mexico. Is this where they fight in? They fight in Mexico.
They go to Mexico they're waking up Rodan. Is the plan. Yeah,
that's right.
But then they're also like, there's this tropical storm that's just changed direction. They're like, oh, that's not good. That's not a tropical storm. Because Ghidorah is inbound. And then the giant, like the actual Monarch team gets there and they're trying to stop it. They're too late. Rodan rocks up and he's just burning everything, which is awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. This, to me, like, it reminds me a lot of Game of Thrones, some of the shots. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I said the same thing.
Yeah.
It looked like King's Landing.
Just burning.
Yeah.
Really appreciate how they did the whole, because I, you know, as he's flapping his wings and then just everything is just
burning,
just
being
up
demolished.
Yeah. Like you see him roar across the head and then behind him is the shockwave.
Yeah.
So cool.
And like people are being pulled up into like, you know, and like just the massive wind off those wings.
I thought this was so cool and scientifically
accurate. Which is I did not expect.
I loved it. I loved that kind of like just the flapping and again getting back to these creatures feeling massive. Like it really does show how massive they are by having things like that where he's
just
like
the turbulence
flaps his
wings
and demolishes a city sort of
insane.
Thing. It's like so good.
That was very cool.
Anyway, so at this point we have him flying. He flies after the Monarch ship.
Yes,
at one
he
point.
Does. They're trying to outrun him. And they're trying to lead him. Basically, they're flying him into the storm so Ghidorah can take care of him. That was such, oh my gosh, that was a cool scene as well.
That's right.
This is kind of funny though, because they come up with this plan while he's still sitting on the volcano.
Yes.
To like chase him away, like lure him away from the city.
Yes.
So it's like, oh, we'll run this way. It's like, yeah, but now he just has to fly directly over the city to get to
you. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Your plan's kind of already failed. Like, maybe like arc left a bit and then get him to chase you away from the city.
Fly in the opposite direction and then fly around.
Fly up.
Fly up. Fly somewhere else. Don't lead him over the city first. And then and then out to the ocean. Anyway,
not a plot hole. I think they'll just go for the quickest route. You know, the longer he hangs around, the more people die from radiation. Yep. So,
because we're after quickest route, not the lowest casualties.
Yeah. If I've learned anything from Chernobyl, then the radiation's what'll get you, not like the devastating wingspan. Yeah. Yeah,
Chernobyl is a great companion piece to this.
It definitely is.
Speaking of invisible things that kill everything.
So we have
Rodan.
Following the helicarrier. I'm just going to call it the helicarrier.
You call it a plane.
Anyways, and it's taking out like a bunch of planes on its way. Like there's a bunch of jets being taken out. And
then they realize they're going to run into the eye of the storm, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they also have a little bit of a problem because they're trying to get one of the helicopters that has got some of the, like, rescued a lot of the people from the city.
Yeah. He's trying to get into the hangar. Damaged.
The hangar's damaged and it can't open. So Mark Russell casually drops a helicopter through the doors. Doesn't kill anyone, surprisingly.
Why would he? There's no one under it.
No, there's a bunch of people on the actual platform.
Were there?
And also in the helicopter that he dropped.
Probably. I don't know whether there was anyone in the helicopter, but there was heaps of people like running around underneath where it was. And I was like,
we need to save those people.
Do you want to know something funny? Look this up afterwards. Right. Basically, he uses an Osprey helicopter as, I don't know, a battering ram. Those helicopters cost $72 million.
Okay. Oh, now it's a bit more understandable. $72 million. No one else tried $1 million.
He just dumped out a door to save a $72 million helicopter broken.
Paul. The next question is: How much is a life?
They did the math on that. They counted up how much your organs worth. How much is a human life worth?
Yeah.
$45 million.
Like times that.
Kept the helicopter.
They just lost $30 million. Idiot.
Times that by, $45 million. $45 million per person?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, based on organ resale and blood and all that crap, $45 million.
So, times that by the 2 dozen people on the helicopter that they're trying to save.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Math works out.
Nah.
I love it in these movies that, like, you know, the whole city's been destroyed, but at least that one helicopter of people gets out.
That's right.
That's all that matters.
With the one child and mother on board.
Yeah.
From the Monarchs, the village. Like,
anyway, crap. They fly into the storm. They save the helicopter for whatever reason.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. They save them.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And this is another teleportation scene as well, because Mark, like, he drops the helicopter and then the next shot is, like, literally him walking into the bridge. And I'm like, where is the bridge?
There's the whole thing where he drops the helicopter, then it cuts to inside the Osprey and then it crashes and they pat the pilot and he's walked
because
back.
At this point, they've already shot off the oxygen-destroying missile and there's countdown.
No, they
are, yeah. There is the countdown because he needs to get him inside the helicarrier before that hits Godzilla and everyone dies in the area.
No. Because Godzilla's not there yet.
No, Godzilla is by this point because they're fighting. No. Yeah, by this point.
They fly Rodan into the eye of the storm. Rodan and Ghidorah start fighting each other.
They fight
and
first.
Then Rodan starts. They get the helicopter inside the big plane, and then Rodan is chasing the big plane, and then Godzilla comes out of nowhere and just nails this thing, and then Ghidorah and
Godzilla start fighting.
Guys, no, we've got it around the wrong way. We've got it around the wrong way. Because, okay, so, no, the helicopter thing doesn't happen first. Ghidorah and Rodan. So, Rodan's like, Rodan is destroying all the supporting vehicles, I guess? The helicopters?
Yeah.
The plane, sorry. They're, like, just smashing the jets out.
Yeah.
And then almost about to grab...
The big plane.
The helicarrier.
That's right.
Big plane.
Yeah.
And then, like, the smaller helicopter's not part. And then they suddenly say, duck, like, dive. And then Ghidorah comes in. They fight.
Yeah.
And then the helicopter comes in.
That's
the whole helicopter thing happens.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
And then smash over, and then the hole, and then they land in the big plane. And then, because then they look out the window, out the, like, open hole in the floor of the plane, and then that's where they see the fight between Ghidorah and Rodan has stopped, and Ghidorah is after them at that point.
So it's literally everything I said except the monster was wrong.
Pretty much.
There we go. And then Godzilla smashes the monster, he smashes Ghidorah, and then, like, you know, drags it underwater and rips its head off.
I'm sure that the helicopter was
I don't think it matters that
the
much,
missile
to be honest.
Was going. Yeah, anyway.
I think you're right, Jason. I think you are right. But yeah, Ghidorah is coming at them.
Rodan. Like, the only reason that I noticed is because I was like, oh, great, there's a countdown going for this missile to actually come in. Oh. And he drops the thing. I'm like, that makes sense. But then the next shot was him inside the bridge. And I was like, wait, there's still like 10 seconds on this clock. But somehow he teleports from the hangar to the bridge kind of thing. And there's like no scene in between, or there's no, like, you know, the actual missile doesn't,
like,
hit in between.
Paul, as much as you hate it, I feel like it is important to just take a break, get this kind of stuff right.
Oh my gosh.
Because if we don't, then our integrity of this podcast is just out the window.
Wait, we have integrity?
All right, no one will take us seriously.
When do we get that? Is that a Patreon thing?
Yeah.
Patreon.com/nerdsbeforebirds. Get yourself some integrity. $1 a month.
It's a t-shirt, actually.
So easy. Dollar integrity. No, where else are you going to get it from?
I really think we should consider renaming to
Integrity Before
to
Nerds, like, Before
Nerds
Birds.
Nerds Before Integrity.
Nerds Before Integrity is a great one.
Nerds Before Integrity.
That's a t-shirt right there. That's hilarious.
That's what we're about. Yeah. Exactly.
I'd wear Anyways, that. So stuff happens.
Yeah, who gives
a
crap?
They shoot a missile.
They fire an oxygen bomb.
And that's a like a weapon that never comes in handy ever again.
They ruin the entire, like
putting it
2 kilometer radius, sucks all the oxygen away, kills everything instantly. Yeah. And they're like, we're gonna kill Godzilla, but we're gonna kill Ghidorah. Sick, let's do it.
Yeah,
and they do it.
Yes,
they kill everything but Ghidorah.
They kill Godzilla. Yes. They don't kill Ghidorah. They later realize that they think Ghidorah is an alien or some crap.
And yes.
And they kill a lot of fish.
They kill all the fish.
Yeah.
All the fish.
And they don't kill Rodan.
He flies away before that happens.
He survives.
Rodan, I know.
Yeah.
He was outside of the radius.
Yeah.
He was just chilling.
He was 2.1 kilometers away, breathing deeply.
so glad that they specified
He's
that.
Holding his breath.
Well, I think we're good.
He heard that. He heard that. He was like, oh, 2.1 kilometers. Got it.
2.1. Yeah. Losers.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'm out of here.
One flap of my wings. That's all it is.
1.9. 2.1. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, now that Godzilla's dead.
Yes.
Godzilla dies, which sucks.
Sad.
It was sad. Does he die?
Yeah. What a shocking ending.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks for listening, guys.
And we know he's dead because we don't see a body.
Yeah, he doesn't float.
Yeah. If we've learnt anything from Godzilla 1998, that definitely means that he's dead.
Oh, yes.
So, we just seen. Does he, like, I can't remember, or maybe I'm mixing the two movies, but is there a shot of him, like going into the ocean?
That was 1998.
No.
That was 98,
It was.
We did watch that, like, a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Of course.
All right.
So,
please, what happens next? For the love of God.
Mothra. Is it Mothra?
Yes, Mothra.
Is this where we're at?
Mothra.
Yeah. Okay.
I love that, like, every single time we've gone on a tangent, I've watched Paul's face and he does this sigh thing, and there's, like, you can tell his thing is like, man, I wish Aaron was here.
We'd be done by now.
At the end of the movie by now. We'd be done. We'd be wrapping up.
Mothra hatches and flies away. Yeah. Mothra flies over to where Godzilla is. They're on a submarine now. They've also found Godzilla. Mothra is like, oi, fix him. So they're like, let's go and fix him. I don't know why you wrote... Oh, no, I read it wrong. Anyway, they're like, Godzilla's still alive, but he's really, really weak. He's in a tunnel. we're going to go and get him. So they do. Then they get in a sub.
Yeah.
And they find this like really awesome Atlantean tunnel, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in there.
And you realize for like millennia, people have been worshipping Godzilla and all the Titans sort of thing.
How did they get these statues down that deep?
No, it was, Atlanta.
Atlantis, basically.
Not Atlanta.
I don't know whether it is Atlantis, but because it's part of the whole.
Heavily inspired.
Yeah, it's heavily inspired, but it's part of the whole structure under the earth where Godzilla's been traveling
the tunnels
between things. Yeah, the tunnels. So it's all part of that, like
that
underwater.
Dumb. That was
like,
dumb.
But I think it's going to come into play, like for the whole thing. It's going to be part of the whole universe.
There's holes in the earth.
Yes, there's holes in the earth, and I believe that it's going to be like kind of like Journey to the Center of the Earth. There's going to be a lot of those kind of things where you find these sort of ancient worlds underneath the surface.
They could easily bring the Meg into this universe.
It's the Godzilla Kong version of the Bifrost.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. So what happens next, guys?
Well, I'm going to do it just because we want to
get through this fast, or do we?
Here's what happens. They get in a sub, they send the drones, the drones die instantly because there's so much radiation. And if you've watched Chernobyl, you know just how little radiation is needed to kill a robot. Yes. So then obviously the plan is we're going to nuke Godzilla because he feeds off radiation and this will help him. Weird, but that's what they're going to do. But
that's part of the whole like 2014.
It happens.
As well.
It's fine.
That was his whole thing. Yeah.
So the sub's been damaged because they got sucked into this weird hole. And they can't fire the torpedoes. So Ken Watanabe is like, there is no other way. And he.
Yeah.
There's no time to argue about it.
Let them fight.
Well, he goes and introduces himself to Godzilla and says hi. And then, like, has a moment.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello, Godzilla.
And he's like, I'm a big fan. I've been following you for quite some time. Just a really big fan. I'm just so glad to meet you. Can I touch you?
Can I
touch your nose? Is that okay if I pat your nose?
That's not going to be weird, is it?
He urinates on Godzilla as one final alpha move, and he dies the dominant one.
He marked his territory.
The next movie is going to be called Watanabe, King of Monsters. Yeah. Anyway.
I'm just picturing Ken Watanabe teabagging Godzilla.
Teabagging Godzilla. Who's the king now, huh? Hey, buddy, give her a chance.
At this point, he fires off the nuke it's like, yay, Godzilla's going to come back to life.
Yeah.
So Godzilla comes up and everyone is on the deck of the
submersible.
And after being revived, Godzilla thanks the humans by splashing them with radioactive water.
Scaring them a bit as well.
As they're all exposed on the outside of the sub.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
No,
they're not going to have any kids now.
Radiation doesn't travel through water, man.
What?
I was waiting to see who would bite on that one.
No, I was just like, what did you just say? Like, you're an idiot. Anyways, I watched Chernobyl too, man. Like, yeah.
Wow.
Man,
after
watching that series, I've honestly, like, it's terrifying. That's the most terrifying thing I've ever seen, I think.
Oh, I need to get into
that series.
Just to interject, real quick, I'm not an idiot.
Yes.
Water is a very good insulator against radiation. Gamma radiation loses half of its penetrating energy in just 15 centimeters of water.
Really?
Oh, wow.
And they were
about 30.
So, yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine.
Yeah, they're fine. That's exactly right. They're fine. They're all good, man. All that evil gamma.
They're not in the water.
All the evil radiation is in the tunnels.
They're not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but what about Godzilla himself?
Godzilla is.
He's
like going
to die. He's got cancer now.
But like anyone around Godzilla with that amount.
It was just
pretty
much going to die. It was 3.6 Röntgen. It wasn't even that much. It's like a chest x-ray. You need to watch the show, Dean. If you watch the show, you'd laugh as well.
I really do. You understand that.
Chernobyl reference.
It's actually really dark when
it's
you think
so
about
dark.
What you're actually referencing because that joke in general is really dark because it's a true story and it's really horrible. But anyway,
I need to cut all of this where it's like laughing, joking, radiation. Hey, what's Chernobyl?
Well,
so.
No, but I think it's like interesting in context of this movie because.
Okay.
there's so much reference to like nuclear weapons and stuff like that, and the radiation itself coming off Godzilla.
Yeah.
That nobody, like, nobody ever gets sick or anything like when they're around him. But yeah, he has to be like just oozing radiation. Like it's part of the,
they
whatever
say it at the end. They're like, you can't be near him longer than 4 minutes or you're going to die. Remember when he's absolutely supercharged at the end there?
Because
he was so radiated.
When
like any longer and you'll die. Yeah.
When he levels up, when they're in the sub, he made that point. It's like, oh, I want to have kids, so let's stop right here.
Needs an egg basket.
Like when they're in the sub, yeah.
Yeah, and then taps the radiation icon that hopefully the driver would have seen, but that's fine. Good on you, Mark Russell. What can't you do?
Anyways, so back in Boston, we find that
because America is the center of the world.
Of course. So they haven't actually traveled that far. So they've been bouncing their signal all over the world, but they've been in Boston this whole time, hiding out in a Monarch facility, I believe it is, just outside of Boston.
Cheeky little Monarch bunker.
So Madison's right, like floating around, and she realizes that the Orca's not being watched because nobody's going to do that.
And her mum's evil.
And she decides... And her mum's evil. Yeah, she realizes her mum is a monster. You're she does monster. Call her a monster at one point.
Wait,
and
is that what this movie's about? That maybe
it's Parent Trap
are
too.
The real monsters. Oh my gosh! No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, it's mind blowing. It's totally that.
Amazing. Like it kind of smashes you over the face with that. But hey, continue.
Oh yeah, completely. Mm. Anyway, so Millie Bobby Brown steals the Orca. She walks into the city. So I'm not really sure about this, but it seems like she's walked for a couple of hours at least because she's like outside the city. And then everyone at the Monarch facility notices, like after she's like right in the center of Boston, that's when they're like, oh, where'd the Orca go?
Hang on a second.
Nobody thought to look for it earlier than this. So
when she's in Boston, she does a really, really good job of going unnoticed. Like when she's in even in the stadium when they've got like all the emergency like evacuation guys and all that, she somehow sneaks through.
That's just pure chaos at that point. That's easy.
I can believe that because everything is really chaotic. I could believe that, but yeah.
Very clever.
She sneaks into the stadium and she decides to play through the speakers. And she's going to bring all the Titans, or mainly just Godzilla, right? Is it?
No, what she wants to do is she wants to play the alpha signal to calm all the Titans down. As soon as she starts firing it, all the news outlets in the world are like, they've stopped their rampage. They've gone docile.
But then Ghidorah is like, doesn't like that.
He's pissed right off.
And so, because it's like, who disarmed the alpha? I thought I got rid of Godzilla.
Yeah.
The only other alpha. I'm going to go investigate.
I'm going to kill it.
So he arrives in Boston and he's not happy.
No.
And he seems to show that a little bit by destroying the stadium that she's in.
By destroying Boston.
And Boston as well.
Yeah.
Not just the stadium. Not isolated to one area.
Just Boston.
Tiptoes until he gets to the stadium, then just goes all out. Yeah.
But basically, he's indiscriminate about his destroying of the city.
Which is kind of honorable if you think about it. It's honor amongst thieves.
It is. Yeah, I think that too. I thought this is a good character moment for Ghidorah.
Yeah,
I think
for sure.
It's where he breaks out of his prejudice, and it's just like, you know what? They all can die.
I'm going to kill everyone equally.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's quite admirable.
Yeah. Equally dead.
Equally dead. Wow. That's good.
Yeah.
Get rid of your biases.
So Millie Bobby Brown's about to die, and then you hear in the distance, Yeah, just that like was that was accurate.
You don't hear that. You hear the opposite of that.
Velociraptor from Jurassic World. Come here. It's blue. It's blue.
Hey, buddy.
Millie Bobby Brown turns around, and this is the moment that we see in the trailer where she has the nice smile, and you know that her hero is coming to help. But I kept thinking
she killed
your
brother.
She can still be stepped on. Right now.
She almost is, like 80 times.
Yeah. But again, because nobody that's a main character is going to die at the wrong time, I didn't really feel like she was ever going to get stepped on. I feel like because it's so over the top, it feels like she's just on a green screen the whole time.
But
it's
as very we disconnected. Have established but,
wait, what?
Already.
Yeah.
Even though she doesn't get stepped on, she has severe radiation poisoning at this
point.
Yeah,
her organs get stepped
on. She's probably going to
die. She's
going to
be dead a week after this movie.
Hell yes. Like,
Oh my gosh.
Everyone is.
Another bit where Godzilla roars and they're like, we're going to fight with him. And so he like starts storming into Boston and then all the fighter jets rip past him as well. I'm like, yes, get it.
I really enjoyed this movie. Like as much as like we're like ripping into it, I actually really enjoyed that moment. And that
was pretty
like,
satisfying.
It was
It is very satisfying.
So
it's just specifically that roar was just
it comes out of nowhere as well. You're like, said,
it's so loud and so insane and just so iconic. You're like, oh my gosh.
Kill
so good.
Everything.
Yeah, for sure.
So they start fighting.
Very
happy. Godzilla's doing a lot better this time at containing Ghidorah. He's like hitting him with his little breath weapon.
Yeah.
And then, there's a bit, hang on, does he bite the power station before or after Mothra rocks up? No, it's after. So Mothra rocks up and Mothra starts like Spider-Maning him in. This is one of my favorite scenes, by the way, where Mothra rocks up.
Yeah.
Spider-Man like webs him into a building, but then you can see the focus shift and you see Godzilla through the reflection of the building come through and just slam Ghidorah through a building, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
We're like screw Boston at this point. That's where we're at. Austin's gone.
Yeah, Rodan shows up at some point in this fight as well.
And starts fighting Mothra.
So you have two monster on monster battles.
It's like Spider-Man 3.
Which is pretty cool.
Oh, way better. It's way better.
No, two.
Like this scene is so good.
So
like,
good.
I don't think any description could really,
we can't describe this scene justice
because it's just so awesome.
There is one bit. But this bit, I hope someone has taken a screenshot because I want this as a wallpaper. Mm-hmm. Basically, Godzilla slams Ghidorah near a power station. And Ghidorah is a very like electrical based titan, and and so he bites the power station, and he gets like he gets supercharged as well. And there's a really awesome scene where it's a massive wide shot, and basically all his heads splay out, his wings splay out, and just lightning erupts from him everywhere.
Yes,
it looks so good.
That looks awesome. Yeah,
holy crap! Wait,
it does look really cool.
They kind of are because you got.
Here we go.
An electric type.
Yep.
You got a fire type. You got a water type.
And a bug type.
You got a bug type. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. The giant
So they're
Pokemon.
The last airbenders?
I don't remember Avatar being a bug.
The original Pokemon.
I was just taking it in a different direction to what he was
going. Freaking suck, Jason.
Mark Russell just wants to catch them all.
I'm just noticing a lot of repeat themes in Japanese culture.
At one point, I thought it looked like I actually kind of laughed a little bit because there is this moment where Monster Zero, like Ghidorah and Godzilla are like, bear hugging, and they're like, Ghidorah's flying up in the air with Godzilla.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it actually kind of looked for a moment that it looked like they're dancing because they're spinning around. And I thought, I was like, oh, wow, it's just turned into a love story between Ghidorah and Godzilla. That's beautiful.
Mothra's the real villain. She's like, Ghidorah's the side hoe.
So at this point, it looks like Godzilla's gonna lose, and Mothra just she just straight up kills Rodan.
Yep, stabs him, stabs him in the heart. Like,
hang on. Okay,
he doesn't, but he wounds him. She wounds him enough that he's like, I'm out. Because Rodan rocks up at the end.
Does he?
Well,
he bows to Godzilla.
Does. He does.
Oh,
but he's
he's
down for the count at this point.
Yeah, he's like, I'm taking five.
Yep. He's Conjure Club in John Wick 3. He's like, I'm just going to stay down and that's it. We're done.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah. Yeah, completely.
Conjure Club in John Wick 3. What?
Be seeing you.
Yeah. You're like, Star Wars and John Wick.
My worlds are complete. Yep.
Anyway. Yeah, so at this point, Mothra decides to rage quit and evaporates.
What?
And
she sacrifices herself.
Yeah, no, she sacrifices herself in a romantic gesture for Godzilla.
How dare you undermine the beautiful thing that she does?
Yeah, you're right. It is beautiful, Dean. Oh, I think you're coming around on this movie. But,
you're right. It's a great movie.
But during this time, whilst Godzilla's down, they are analyzing him. Yep. And they're like, he is really getting supercharged. We need to get out of here because he gone pop. And pop he does, because bloody hell, he goes from blue to red, which is bad. It's bad when you turn red. And he just starts like waffle stomping Ghidorah. He's ripping heads. He's like burning him alive.
He's releasing the
energy, which is cool.
It's awesome. Like he does definitely level up in this moment.
Yeah,
for sure.
Does he go from blue to red or does it just stay blue?
Yeah, he goes red. Super Saiyan.
He goes red. And then, promise you that.
Yeah.
The humans are doing some crap. Cool. They've got the Orca. They've found Millie Bobby Brown. Sick. Who cares?
Yeah. And monsters. At that point,
Vera Farmiga.
The family reunite, and we have that really cliche sort of moment where they're driving along and the driver's like, I know why I'd run away from home too.
Or yeah.
Home. And then she's like, what did you say? And she's like, oh, home. And they're like, oh, she must have gone home. That's where she is. So they go and find her in the home. And that is really cliched. It's really
quite
dumb.
Weak.
Anyways.
No.
Yeah. So I'll give it this one plot hole.
All right.
Anyways.
You hate her.
So Dr. Emma, she's a sore loser in the custody battle and she decides to play the sacrifice card and screw the husband over for life. And
that is exactly what happens. Up,
yeah, she does. Because she's like, I'm going to take the Orca and I'm going to like go and do things. I don't even understand what her plan is. Is it to lure Ghidorah away?
Yeah.
For just long enough or something like that?
It's long enough so that Godzilla can get up.
Godzilla, can get up.
So that's why she runs 10 meters away and then
gets in a car.
Flies down, pretty much. Oh, that's right. She does get in the car.
She's in the car. She's driving. Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't paying much attention to this.
Really?
To the characters.
Really?
She gets killed. How does she die? It's by Ghidorah, right?
Or Godzilla.
Electrocutes her to death.
Electrocutes her. And it's kind of dumb from like a bit of a distance. And I actually thought, oh, maybe she could survive this. Because I was waiting for any character was like in danger kind of thing. Mm. So this was the character moment where I was like, maybe she's all right.
I'm pretty sure it's just she gets caught in the Godzilla explosion. I'm pretty sure that's how
it
she
is.
Dies.
It is something like that. It's a massive explosion.
They're watching from the helicopter. They can see Ghidorah like snaking his way down the street, and then all of a sudden there's like an explosion. Like he discharges in the street and kills her.
Then we have Godzilla and Ghidorah go head to head in some of the coolest moments in this in this movie.
It's pretty cool.
And Godzilla just straight up kills Ghidorah. And it's really epic, really awesome. And you see like the head come out and you think he's still alive, but then you realize that it's Godzilla's
pretty much the whole of him.
And it's all that's left is the head. And I was like, this is cool.
So good.
So he like, it's like a triple kill because it's like, he does basically disintegrates Ghidorah and then blows Ghidorah up and then kills and then eats Ghidorah. So basically everything you could to kill Ghidorah, Godzilla does.
Yeah.
Does it eat Ghidorah? Because I thought it just ripped all its heads off because it was standing on top of its corpse at the end.
It definitely ate the head.
It definitely ate one of the heads. Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, well, after that, it's standing, you know, it's now asserted itself as the dominant titan.
Yes.
It starts roaring and doing its thing. Rodan rocks up and then it sort of, you know, flays its wings and bows. And then somehow all of the other titans are there and they're like... Yeah, sick.
Yeah, we have like this kaiju ceremony where they're like crowning the king kind of thing.
Where the hell did the mammoth come from? You think someone must have seen this thing coming in.
I reckon there's probably like a cutaway scene that they cut kind of thing where they're just like all the monsters are getting to Boston and then they stop and then the mammoth's like, wait, let them fight. And they just sit there and watch for a little bit.
Let them fight.
And then they come and join. I reckon that happened for sure.
Man. Yeah. So Godzilla wins and it's sick. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of.
Yeah.
I kind of really like how they sort of like, you know, gave a bit of tribute and played on that whole let them fight line in this movie, where they're talking like earlier on in the movie, like, oh, I just love how he always says, let them fight and do it all.
Yeah,
that.
They did actually reference it, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. Kind of make it a bit of a joke.
It was Bradley Whitford that actually says that line, right?
It is.
He's like, I love it when he says that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. That's funny.
When he said, let them fight.
And then, so we have the end credits where we realize that Mothra has another, like, there's another Mothra out there. So she's not dead forever.
Wait, what?
There's like another lava or whatever.
Yeah.
Is out there. And then after the end credits, we have Charles Dance's character. He's tracked down one of the heads of Ghidorah and he's purchasing it on the black market. And not really sure what he's going to do. Maybe he's going to grow his own Ghidorah. Not really sure. But
I feel like it kind of gives away exactly what's going to happen in Kong vs. Godzilla in that movie.
I think you're right. I think it'll be like Godzilla versus Kong, and then Ghidorah shows up, and now it's Godzilla and Kong versus Ghidorah.
Charles Dance is going to somehow convince Godzilla and Kong that they're enemies.
Yeah.
They're going to fight. Meantime, he's bringing Ghidorah back to life. Yeah. And then they're going to fight and almost kill each other. And then they're going to realize that both the mothers were named Mothra. And then they're going to become best friends.
Yeah.
And then they're going to join the team up to fight Ghidorah.
Your mom's name's exactly Mothra too?
Your mom's name's Mothra. What? That is
why
exactly
that
how
why
it's going
to
go.
Why are you saying that name? That'll
the same
be the
movie.
End of that movie. Yeah, anyway. I think it's amazing.
Yes. You didn't want to laugh at that poor, but I got you. I got you.
That's funny.
I got you. Thank you.
Yeah, so I think for the next movie, at least, we know that all the human characters are dead from radiation.
They are also like 9 feet tall.
Yeah.
It's Godzilla versus Kong versus the humans who are now Hulk. All of them. Everyone's Hulk.
Yeah. I feel like by this stage, like, there'd be so many humans that'd be like really massive that the whole world is being completely weighed down and like just demolished under everybody's feet.
Mark Russell is a giant teleporter. That would be interesting.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
He definitely
also,
is.
Also, I'm sorry, but one more character issue. When did he go from hating Godzilla to being his biggest fan? Like, I missed.
I don't think he was ever his biggest fan. I think he just needed him.
He just
he just realized that he was their best shot, sort of thing. And I actually like that.
He's full on flag bearer at the end. There was never like a one specific point, or it's all like there was never enough to establish that character change, in my opinion. I just thought that it was kind of like, it was a change that needed to happen because of the plot, and it wasn't kind of established properly, in my opinion. I don't know.
I think it works, but that's
oh, you're me. Right. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm just nitpicking. Yeah. You're right. I'm
you're
sorry.
Right. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I'll stop.
Yeah. Thank you for coming around. So will this be your first five bird review?
What do you guys think first? We'll go with that.
Oh, that's not how this works.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I have too many character issues still to like give it.
What?
I feel. Shut up. It was awesome, but I feel like it's still like missing points where it's like it's a great movie. There was not enough human connection. It's a big problem in these movies where you have giant monsters fighting giant monsters. The human characters, the ones that you kind of connect with, they just seem completely redundant because they're so small in comparison to the bigger picture. And
I always found myself really connecting with Godzilla. I always felt like I could relate to Godzilla's plight.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah,
he just wants
enough.
To sleep.
So,
I'd be angry too.
I completely agree too. He's just sick of people making too much noise.
He just wants
sleeping.
A break.
Too much noise.
Too much.
Shut up.
Too much. Yep.
How
if
did
the
I
world
miss
would
that?
Just shut up. He'd get back to sleep. And that's how I feel. So I was like, this is a character I can root for.
Fair enough. But it's so like, they kind of like spent too much time with characters that you just didn't care for. And it would have been better if they just are like actually developed them better, or just completely got rid of them and made it, or just Godzilla fighting monsters. Anyway, I'm going to give this 3 birds.
Nice.
Fair enough.
Yep.
Yeah. What about you, Paul? Where do you land on this?
They didn't really put that much time into the humans was awesome because I don't care and I want monsters. And
oh, I got you're monsters. Right. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah,
I couldn't give a stuff about the humans. They were annoying. Like, stop cutting to them. Just show me the fights. I'm going to give it 3.5. I loved it. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah. Nice.
Cool. Yeah. Had a great time.
I'm actually the same as you. I thought, like, even though I despite all the chaos, I never felt like the humans were ever in danger.
Mm-hmm.
I also, even like I said, I felt like Emma was going to walk out at the end. I thought, like, well, maybe even after Godzilla goes, like, Super Saiyan and levels the city, I thought she might walk out.
It's going to be like,
I did not buy into, like, the whole destruction of the city.
Godzilla walks over to the plane, goes, hey, guys, and holds out his hand. And there she is.
It's like the post credits for Rim of the World, and it's like a little snapshot of them all hugging the mum.
yeah.
You made it.
Yeah.
And then playing at Live 8.
And then flipping Watanabe, like, swims out of the water. Yeah, like, what did I miss?
But now he's got 3 heads.
Yeah, that's right. He walks, he's Ant-Man.
I honestly, like, all this aside, I think it's I think it's really enjoyable. It's a lot of fun. Like, it's a dumb movie. Mm. I don't think anyone should go into it thinking that it's going to win an Oscar or something like that.
Oh, but no.
It definitely is really fun in a lot of ways. Mm. And yeah, I'm keen to see what they do with the next one. I'm keen to see Kong versus Godzilla. And I know what they're like. I know that they're going to make Kong a lot bigger. He's growing a lot between these movies.
Aww.
Mainly because they want him to be a formidable foe. Because
he was a teenager back in the 80s. He wasn't even full grown.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
No, he's like the transformation of Groot between the Guardians movies.
For sure. No, yes, I think
he basically is.
For me, I think that's probably another issue I had with this movie. I was never very pumped for this because I knew it was on the horizon. I just wanted to get straight to Godzilla vs. Kong, which is going to be awesome and it's going to be incredible. Not. And shut up, Paul, because you haven't seen Kong.
Dumb.
And it's going to be good. And that's
Paul,
what I wanted.
What do you have? What's the issue?
There's no issue. Like, you've just established Godzilla as the absolute alpha. What the hell is a monkey going to do?
You know that in the original Godzilla versus Kong, Kong wins, right?
Oh, this isn't the original Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah.
They didn't have a movie before the original Godzilla versus Kong where Godzilla kills everything else.
So, here's the thing, Paul.
Yeah.
It's established in the prelude comic, apparently, to this, or prelude story, that Kong is also one of the Titan kind of, you know, creatures. He heard the calls that were coming from Ghidorah, but unlike all the other isolated monsters that want to join in, he just didn't give a rat's ass and decided to stay on his island because he couldn't be stuffed because he just wants to be left in peace.
Yeah.
Similar
so
to
you've
Godzilla.
Already told me. You've already told me that he's lazy.
So exactly, I'm saying you can relate to this guy for sure.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Make it easy.
He's big. He's lazy.
I'm insulting
he's hairy.
King Kong. I'm not insulting you.
This has become a personal attack on Paul.
bloody hell.
I actually didn't enjoy Kong that as much as I'm making out
it
that
just
I
wasn't a good movie.
Did at this point. But no, you haven't even seen it.
Oh, no.
I don't want to see it.
Check it out. It is fun.
You know what's interesting, though, that Kyle Chandler, who plays Mark Russell in this, also was in Peter Jackson's Kong.
Right, he was.
Like King Kong. Yeah, he was. And his character was actually my favorite character in that version.
Yeah, because
he plays
the
really, like, over-the-top Hollywood action star sort of thing. Like, and he's just like perfectly cast in that. And I thought it was really cool to see him in another one as well.
I liked the T-Rex because it died and didn't have to watch the rest of the movie.
Well, watch Kong. It's good. You will enjoy
you
it.
You should watch Kong Skull Island, man.
If you enjoyed you this, enjoy
is it on Netflix?
You will enjoy
if it's on Netflix, I'll watch it.
It is.
Yeah, it is actually. Yeah.
Haka.
Yeah. And It's kind of like Godzilla, like the 1998 version, because it has a million helicopters.
Oh, so many.
At one point. Like, they have, like, the helicopters taking off from the whatever it is, the boat, and they could maybe have maybe 20 helicopters on this boat, and that's like a stretch. Hold,
Jason, because the ship is made out of helicopters. And so just separates into millions of helicopters.
It's like, it's really funny the way they edited it. It's like every time you see another shot, it is suddenly like another 10 helicopters, because it's like there's maybe 5 take off from the ship. And then the next shot, you've got maybe 7 helicopters. And then the next shot, you've got about 15 helicopters. And then the next shot, there's about 30 helicopters. And it just like, goes more and more extreme.
Watch it just to count the helicopters.
And even the directors like pointed it out as a plot hole, and he's like, yeah, I don't really care. It was mainly because I wanted to destroy a heap of helicopters.
And that's awesome. When we think about it, we wanted him to destroy a lot of helicopters as well. Yeah.
He's got a really budget and a dream.
Yeah, for sure. And we wanted to live that dream as well. So,
but that's pretty much why I probably wasn't as keen for this movie, because I just wanted to get straight to Kong vs. Godzilla. Or Godzilla vs. Kong, and I felt like this was just wasting my time until that one came out. But, man, it was good. It was pretty good. Go see it.
So that brings us to the end of this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed the show. And if you like the show and you want to support the show, you can visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/nerdsbeforebirds. And you can contribute any amount starting at $1 a month. And that just helps us to keep the lights on. Mm-hmm. If you can't contribute financially, but you want to support the show in another way, you can support us by subscribing on whatever service that you're listening to us on right now, or following us on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, where we're Nerds Before Birds on all of those, except for Twitter, where we're Nerds Before Bird, singular. Otherwise, that's a bye from me.
See you later, guys. Good night.